One of the reasons why, when I wanted to buy my car, one of the things I favored Kia, apart from other things, was that they had a service center here. That was one thing that I said, they have a service center here. So if they are giving me 3-year warranty, 100,000 kilometers, if you want me to drive all the way to Port Harcourt to go have my car serviced? I said, no, I go here. Where did that whole thing start from? One man. It's called, I'm describing seeking first the kingdom. Any business that you are doing and you cannot see how you are going to bless somebody with it, you are in the wrong place. You are out of the will of God. Even if God called you to ministry and you are doing your ministry, but how you can, you know, and what is driving is how I can get money, you are out of the will of God. Even though you are in the center of God's call for your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? If God appeared to you, say, my son, I have called you to pastor a church, and the church is in Enugu, and you are going to start it, and the name of the church is going to say, is going to be, you started it, International Ministries. And you heard the word of God, and you came into town, and you started the church, and you called it, you started it, International Ministries. You've obeyed everything that God told you. At the end of the day, the church does not do well. Many, you know, the other day, Bishop and I were talking. I said, look, all of us are called. You understand my point? You see vision, you know, see vision, we are all called. If you are called, say amen.
Amen.
I don't mean you are called to start church. So if you are afraid to say amen. I didn't mean you are called to become a missionary. But there's a calling upon your life. So the fact that you are called is no guarantee that you will succeed. You see, I've identified my call. I will be in the center of that call. It's no guarantee that you will succeed. You can be in the center of your call and you will fail and die, both of them combined. The same time. And the center of your call. He said, I using my call does not guarantee success. Yes, that's what I said. It does not guarantee success. Why? Because you can be in the center of the call of God and you'll be out of the will of God. I can prove it to you quickly. Remember the story of Moses. Moses was called by God, amen?
Amen?
Moses went to obey the call of God, amen?
Amen?
Then on the road, what happened? God met him to kill him. Why? Because brother Moses was called and he did not circumcise his son. Not circumcising his son was walking out of the will of God, even though it was in the center of the call of God, but he did not circumcise his son, so the man was going to die. So brethren, don't just worry about the call and plan of God. Worry in quotes now about the will. Moses had to quick that Zipporah when Moses was about to die. By that time, because when he said God came to kill him, his heart was failing. He couldn't breathe anymore. He was panting for breath. He couldn't raise a hand. When Zipporah saw it, she instantly knew what happened. And she quickly rushed and circumcised the boy. And the man recovered. He was in the center of the call of God for his life, yet he was going to fail and die. That is why, brethren, when I'm raising prayer points, like we are going to do now, our prayer is not... Have you noticed that enemies not get... Look, let me tell you your problem, in quotes now, your issue with Satan. God has said to Satan, have you considered my servant Emeka, in case that's your name? And the devil has said, you have put a hedge around him. There's a hedge around you. Say amen.
Amen.
The devil cannot touch you. Say amen.
Amen.
That's a matter of fact. So don't worry about him. If you are talking about worry, now being concerned about something, it is about how much am I pleasing. Those of you who say that, if you marry the right man, your marriage will be happy. Lie. What did I say?
Lie.
No, I didn't hear you well enough.
Lie.
Lie, lie. Big lie. Can marry the right woman and when you wake up in the morning, bang, bang, round one, I will go there. People think because God spoke to them, it means that everything will be okay. No. No. When you finish marrying the right man and marry the right woman, you now buy the right book and read the right verses. And obey the right scriptures. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You now love her rightly as Christ rightly is loving the church rightly. You now honor him and respect him as Sarah respected and honored her husband. Now you are walking in the will of God. I know you married the right man. Many people say that things are not working well. The day I married, I knew it was the wrong person I married. It's a lie. The reason why they are not working well is because you are not obeying the right words today. That is the reason. That is the reason. So when we're talking about walking in the will of God, therefore, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about praying. You know, I said that you cannot obey these things by your own strength. You can't obey these things by your own strength. And that's my emphasis. You can't. You cannot obey these things by your own strength. You want to respect and honor a man? It is easy to say until you marry a mugu. Marry a man that's always saying everything that is wrong. When you see wrong decision 6 times in a row. Oh, the Lord is good. Okay, let's even say, don't forget that one. Also, one day you are going to marry a man that doesn't seem to understand you at all, which is a lie every woman tells themselves. You don't understand me. Who understands? Then come back to that nonsense. So all these single girls, I'll be saying that rubbish. No married woman talks that nonsense. If you don't understand, you explain yourself. Sorry, ladies, I beg you. It's true now, which is understand. Come on, open your mouth and explain yourself. What are you talking about? Killing him? I keep on telling my wife, in those days, not now, things have gotten much better over the last 15 years. Getting better every day. So you think it's, you just think that you are the only one that has a hard time understanding you. You understand that is, you are the one that needs to be understood. You don't think I need to be understood too. Is it because I just decided I should let you do the cry? Me too, I can cry. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. What I'm ready to say here is this. Sometimes we get to those situations in life. One is as if obedience to the word of God is not good. It's not easy. Like, it's not practical. Now, pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You know? Yes, it's true. I don't know what you are going through. But there is somebody that knows what you are going through. His name is Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. He now said, draw near to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help at such times of need. That's what I'm preaching. That is all I am preaching. That is all I am preaching. And that's what I'm saying. That's what our prayer is for. Everybody, I said you should open somewhere earlier, right? Okay, Colossians chapter 1 is one that we know here a lot, all right? We're always quoting it. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, the issue is life. That people don't, we haven't taken the word of God as a standard for life and pursued it. That is, pursue it. Pursue it hard. That's the major problem with life. If we take this word as a standard of God and pursue it hard, we'll be so busy praying about it. One day my wife annoyed me in the house, not too long ago. So if you think that thing stopped like 6 years ago, it's a lie. This must have been the last few weeks, maybe like the last 3 months or 4 months. Okay, maybe 5 months, but it's not up to 6 months. It's that recent. She was still feeling very, very righteous. This wicked pastor that I married. Yeah, you keep quiet. When I opened my mouth to talk, the next day after I finished talking, my wife ran. She disappeared. Where did she go to? She carried the pillow, went to the study, lay down on the floor, and began to cry to God. That's what I'm talking about.
He said, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I repent of every... She began to repent. Before she has been feeling very obstinate. Say, yes, I'm righteous, he's wicked. How could he do me like this? I'm not talking initially. When I opened my mouth, talk initially. I showed her, you know, apart from being a pastor of the, in teaching the word of God, I'm actually the pastor in my house. That is whether you're a preacher or not. In your house, you're also pastor. So I took on the prophetic and pastoral anointing inside the house. And began to Nathan her. You know Nathan and David. I did her like Samuel did Saul. You have not obeyed the word of the Lord that commanded you to kill the Amalekites. It is you that took the goat. You understand? That was what Nathan did to David. By the time I finished, you know, my wife is like David. He said, against the old Lord have I sinned. She ran to the study, carried Bible. Bible. Sit down there. Pray. Confess. Say, yes, this is good. Now, don't think I don't confess my own sins. Do I do? I'm trying to tell you that. I do now. You know, I talk to myself. Hey, if you don't talk to yourself, you will sick one day, die. Hey, I'm not joking. No. Listen, especially when you are a preacher. Everybody's doing you good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. What is the word of the Lord to us, sir? And nobody's telling you the word of the Lord. You had better hear the word of the Lord by yourself. I'm telling you the truth. Otherwise, you wake up in the morning, now headache. How could they do bang? He said, come on, people stop pounding. He said, nobody's pounding anything. Ah! That is, now die, you won't die with that. I'm telling you, now die. So, I'm being honest with you. I talk to myself. Especially when I'm, like, you know, there are this set of messages I've been listening to in the last few days. And it was preached to preachers. I listen to every word. Anyone that sounds like me, I just assume it is me. Even though it was preached like 10 years ago, or I think one of, yeah, maybe like more than 10 years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, the man don't know me. But once it sounds like me, I say, okay, that man is talking to me. And as I'm, a lot of times I'm driving, there and there you start praying with that word. Otherwise, please let me just say the truth. Don't let God correct you. When you want to pray, say, God, please, don't correct me yet. Let me just send somebody. That one is easier. If your husband talks to you don't listen. Just listen to him. If God opens his mouth and says you don't listen, you go deaf. So don't let him talk to you. No, honestly. The correction of God. You know what happened to David? Go and number Israel. Joab said, okay, no, it's not necessary. David said, what do you mean? Okay, sorry, sir. People said, why is my Lord? He didn't hear. Then when he finished, God said, all right. I have now come to do the correction myself. Choose one. David said, yeah. Why did I not listen to Joab? Oh. He was now wishing he had listened to Joab and Co. That is why the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. The Bible says, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For the Lord our God is a consuming fire. That was not written to unbelievers, though. It was written to Christians. When I say Christians, just they misbehave anyhow. Okay, let us correct you. You're not here. God, when he decides to correct you, the Lord is good. Now, why did I tell that story? To let you know that that's what we do with the word of God. When we hear correction, the Bible says the word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. This is what a man of God uses, a woman of God uses to purge himself, herself. Make yourself perfect. It's with the word of God. You don't struggle into obedience. I was explaining. You, in quotes now, struggle in prayer. I've been talking about that, you know, for a long time. That garden of Gethsemane thing. That is what we do with God's word. Therefore, I said we should open to where? Colossians chapter 1. Alright, this is the prayer we are going to take now. For the minutes that we have left.
from verse 3. I'm going to jump here and there to before I get to the main place I'm going to, so as to save time, but we have to back up a bit so as to get these things in context. Paul said from verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you. If somebody is praying for you in a particular way, you can pray for yourself that way also. Do you understand that point? So praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as in all the world. Jump down now to verse 9. It said, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you. This is our prayer point. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he went ahead to teach more things. What I want to bring out is that prayer here. We need to look at that prayer from in verse 9. He said, we are praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. And we're talking about that. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's rise to our feet, everybody. We're going to pray with this, and then we'll close within a few minutes. At that time, I talked about increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, today, from what I have said, I believe I have stirred everybody up. This is what we taught on Saturday. And I reviewed it extensively just a while now ago now. And it's forming the basis of our prayer. Remember, without words, without understanding, you will not know how to pray effectively. Let me go over that again. Without words, that is the proper word from God, without those words, without understanding, your prayer will not be effective. Daniel prayed when he read the book of Jeremiah. When he read the book, he understood what God wanted to do and he understood the timing. Many of us who have been praying, God, give me my wife, give me my wife. God, like I said on Saturday, God said, why I have not answered you is that you don't understand my will yet. My will is not, is it Angela, is it Jane, is it Priscilla? No. My will is, what do you call marriage? If you marry a wife today, if I give you one of my beautiful daughters, are you going to treat her the way your father thinks women should be treated in your village? Is that what's going to be your expectation of her? He said, please, go and learn. When you have learned what it means to have a wife, then I will answer you. That is, you go and learn my will. Do you understand that point? Lord, I need a job. I need a job. What you're thinking in your heart is that where will I go sit down, do next to nothing, and get a lot of money, which is very common these days. Yes. God said, that's why I've not answered you. What is my will? Go and learn what it means to have a job. Go and learn what it means to be a blessing. Go and learn what it means to use your skill and your abilities to affect somebody else's life. Go and learn what it means to make somebody rich, not yourself. That's what it means to have a job, is to help somebody else get rich. It's very important we understand that. People think that, you know, I need to get money. No. If somebody is paying you 2 naira, he should be making at least 4 naira. If it's not happening, you are not working according to the will of God. Are you getting my point? When it even comes to, you want to own your own business, you know? The other day, Yinka and I went to go and preach, and our host was discussing a particular school in that particular city. And he said that at the point in time, it's a mission school. So they brought the books. There were some quarrels. So they brought the books and said, okay, let us look at the books. And they found out that the wage bill of that school, the staff, what they paid them was, it came to less than 10% of the total expenditure. Everybody then standing disagreed. They said, we are sorry. First of all, double the teacher salaries. Like before we talk further, go and double the teacher salaries. That for these are the people impacting knowledge. This was a school. Into the lives of these children, they are the ones that are earning the least. What are you doing with the rest of the money? These are the people paying the fees. They said, we are sorry. We insist you double the teacher salaries. Now, let's forget that it's a mission school. assume it's even your private business. It's very important you ensure that those who are working there, you understand, they are being blessed. Listen, he said J-O-Y, remember that song? J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. When it comes to your business, it's the same thing. You want the business to be sustained, very important. You have to be a good, you know, manager of money. You see the scriptures, God expects that. Then, who are the others? Your clients, the society, your workers. Once all these people are happy, Jesus is happy, your clients are happy, your workers are happy, you, don't worry, all other things shall be added unto you. I mean, these are divine precepts. What is the will of God? To learn these things. Therefore, let's begin to pray. Everybody, grab your Bible. That is the declaration we used to declare at the beginning of our teachings. Today, we want to make it a prayer so that we'll use it every time we go, both as a declaration and also as a prayer. From that chapter 1, verse 9, I want everybody to shout, you know, begin to pray. If I just say after me, say, I pray in the name of Jesus.
I pray in the name of
Jesus. Say, I pray in the name of Jesus.
I pray in the name of Jesus.
That I be filled with the knowledge of your will, O God.
I ask for spiritual wisdom and understanding.
That I may walk in a manner worthy of you. To please you in all respects.
So that I will bear fruit in every good work.
And continually increase in the knowledge of God. Say, strengthen me with all power.
According to your glorious might.
That I may attain all steadfastness and patience.
That I may give you thanks at all times.
In the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple prayer, isn't it? But you understand the emphasis today. The emphasis is on that knowledge of his will. That's the emphasis. That God, I want to be filled with the knowledge of your will. I'm going to give us a few minutes, each person. Because like I say all the time, anytime we start speaking like this, the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. Look, listen. The word is alive. What it means to be alive is that these are not just letters. It's not just sound waves in your ears. They are living things so that what Mr. A is hearing is different from what Mr. B is receiving. The word comes and speaks into your own area of life. We have declared this, all of us together. I want us to just take a minute now, everybody, begin to pray. Bow down your heads and begin to pray from the bottom of your heart. In that particular area, say, Lord, I want the knowledge of your will. You have seen, we have said it. It is not the business. Hey, which business is working in this city? No, it is the knowledge of his will. We used to think the knowledge of his will means that I know the business I'm supposed to do. Yeah, that one comes later. The first thing is, and for those ones, you are guided into them automatically. As you are praying there, what you are asking the Lord for is, I want the knowledge of your will in this particular area. Especially, now listen to this, the area in which you appear stagnated. The area in which you have prayed. The last 3 years you have been praying on this matter. What you now need is the knowledge of his will. Many times for some people, God will say, stop praying. That is the knowledge of his will. Your prayer has become a matter of worry. Just go about your business. I heard you 3 years ago. The time is not right. That's why I've not answered you. Sometimes that's all there is to it. Other times God says to you simply, listen, my girl, listen, my boy, you don't know what you are asking. It happens. People sometimes come to God, they don't know what they are asking. Therefore, let us pray. Say, Lord, give me the knowledge of your will. Declare it loud. Say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. That's what prayer is about. We're talking about God-centered praying. This is how we pray. This is how we pray. When you are filled with the knowledge of his will, listen to me, life responds to you because you will start doing the right things automatically. And life will start responding to you automatically. Once you are filled with the knowledge of his will, you start doing the right things and life starts responding to you automatically. That is the prayer point for today. In that particular area, I say, Lord, sometimes you're a minister. You need to pray, what is the knowledge of your will here? Now, I'm not just talking about, God, what do you want me to do? Is what is that thing that pleases you in the way by which I do things? That what is that thing that pleases you? I said the other time that these days, Christians have a problem. Testimonies are only for when I get results that appear positive to the world. If I'm denied a job, the testimony is that I got a bigger one. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes the testimony simply is that the conditions for that lucrative job didn't meet my expectations as a Christian. That is, it will defile my conscience. It will not allow me to walk closely with God, so I turned it down. And that is the testimony. What have you gained by it? I please God. That's it. That's why we need to pray. Listen, brethren, this is why we pray. This is what our prayer is about. Whatever it is you are doing, there is a way you can do it better. And that better way is called the knowledge of His will. There's a way you pay your staff. There's a way you treat your customers. There's a way you reason about your ministry. Even though the ministry may have done well, but you need to increase and improve in some things. That's what he talked about. I'm praying, Paul said, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Say, Lord, I receive understanding from you today. I receive understanding. Say, Lord, I receive understanding. I receive understanding. I receive the knowledge of your will. Begin to declare it. Say, Lord, I receive the knowledge of your will. I receive understanding. I receive the knowledge of your will. Now, very important, say, I lay down every contrary idea. Everything that I came into ministry with as my idea concerning how it should be done. I lay them down before your altar today. I say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Give me understanding and I shall live. Oh, my societal ideas concerning marriage. Who I can marry. Where I can marry from. How to live my life as a married person. Say, Lord, I lay them down. I forsake them. I reject them. They have become strongholds in my heart. And I say to these strongholds, be gone. I cast them down deliberately. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I receive your own insight. I receive spiritual wisdom. I receive spiritual understanding. I receive the knowledge of your will. God has a will concerning how to respond to every situation. And that's what we are talking about. Say, Lord, I receive the knowledge of your will. Those days, we learned this, and let me just read that scripture and then we'll begin to close with it. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wrote to the Ephesians like something very similar to what we read from the letter to the Corinthians just a while ago. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be. Let's start from verse 16. From 15. He said, for this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and the love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What do I pray concerning that God, he said, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The same thing. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Let me just stop there, because Paul, after that, began to describe the qualities of these things. I want to do something again. Let's just pray again. Say, Lord, I want to understand the hope of my calling. And I want to experience the demonstration of the power of God in my life. That's what he said. that you will understand the surpassing greatness of his power that's working towards you because you believe. Because you see, a lot of times we have had other things helping us in life. We've had money, we've had people. We have never come to realize how God does things sometimes without those things. So just pray a prayer now for a minute and say, Lord, I want to experience your power. I want to understand what it means to have angels guarding me. I want to understand what it means to know that God is my supplier. That is the hope we are talking about. To understand that God is my Father. That's the desire of my heart. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Just ask God, say, Lord, I want to experience power. Now, I just feel like saying this. If anywhere is hurting in your body, begin to talk to that place. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have the power of God working in me. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I speak to this pain, be gone. Therefore, I speak to this trouble, be gone. Especially when it comes to health matters. Speak to your body now. And the healing power of God will enter that place. That is a power that works toward those who believe. Declare that I reject every negative counsel, every word that maybe the doctor thoughts in my mind. In the name of Jesus. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Lord, we thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the liberty we have in Christ Jesus. Now everybody just say after me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's start again. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. To fullness. I'm increasing daily in my knowledge of God. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it, I'm experiencing the power of God in my life. The power of God is touching every aspect of my life. Say, that power has healed my body. Now say, they say, it's leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say, my walk is a walk of righteousness. Because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Say, Christ is in me. I am not of this world. Christ is in me. My ways are different. My work is different. And the power is different. When I say the power is different, what I mean is that, listen, when people think you don't know people, they will know you know somebody. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I feel like dropping this. Your business will not do well because the economy is good. No. The primary reason why you will not sink is because you are walking by faith. When Peter sank, it was because he did not have faith. Faith is not just I believe it will be okay. Faith is that I hold on to righteousness no matter what it's costing me. That's part of what faith is. Faith is not just the way by which I get. Jesus said that I have the power to lay down. He was talking about his life. That his faith gave him the power to lay down his life. Sometimes, in your walk in life, by faith, you let something go. Say, but we spend so much money on that project. One of the things I would like to tell people in life, learn how to take loss. Life. No. Let nobody tell you that by faith you will never lose anything. Let me tell you the truth about faith. By faith, you have to learn to lose some things. Because sometimes it takes away the first so that he might establish the second. I believe I'm talking to some people this evening. That's what faith does. With faith, you hold on tenaciously to righteousness. And then the power of God will manifest in your life. If you believe that, say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Let us give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you for the excellence of your beauty, for your power that's working in our lives. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.